The NPL show is brought to you in association with EvoStick. Get stuck in.
Welcome everyone to November's episode of the EvoStick NPL show. We're back here at the Heat and Hops in South Manchester to bring you another month of reflection, of predictions and outright nonsense. Round the table, we're joined by the great and good of the non-league game. We've got James Hayes from the NPL Facebook group.
Evening.
We've got Roy Sewell, non-league legend.
Good evening.
We've got Mr. Ian Burke from Radio Manchester.
Hello, Ben.
And from the Mid-Cheshire Guardian, Andrew Simpson joins us.
Hello.
Hello. So, in a second or two, we're going to be talking to Mr. Gary Hackett, manager at Stourbridge, because they've got some big game over on Sunday. And then we've got loads of talk about the FA Trophy and the league and that kind of thing. Just a general thought, because the last time we were here, we were talking about the FA Cup, and Stourbridge have done well, I feel.
Again.
How do they keep doing it?
It says quite a lot for them, doesn't it? Again, how they got through the last round, showing the metal at the same time. Second year in a row, but they've got that potential now there, at their home ground, to be able to take on a league side. They've done it before, I reckon they can do it again.
And Northampton won't be able to set fire to the pub again.
But we'll discuss this fixture in more depth in a second. But on Thursday, I caught up with the manager once again, because we're a lucky charm for Stourbridge now. I caught up with the manager, Gary Hackett, at Stourbridge, to hear his views on this one.
Welcome return to you, Gary. How's things?
Yeah, good, thanks. Looking forward to Sunday.
I bet you are. We'll come to Sunday's game in a minute, but a big congratulations on the last round. An excellent result, that one.
Yeah, I think, you know, it was a very tough draw, having to go away to Whitehawk. It was a very long journey for us, but we got a well-deserved draw down there, and I've got to say, in the replay, we were excellent, and, thoroughly deserved to be in round two.
Well, we listened to the commentary on Black Country Radio, and, the whole place was bouncing. It was a cracking atmosphere, and that's what you need this Sunday as well.
Yeah, we certainly do. I mean, it was a special night at Amblecote. We couldn't believe the size of the gate, and as I said, the atmosphere in there was it was rocking, and we've got to try and reproduce that and recreate it on Sunday.
Now, I know, going into the game, everyone on the show was pretty much predicting Stourbridge could do a job on Whitehawk, but we have to remember Whitehawk are a step above, so it was an excellent result. Northampton, though, it's a few steps above, and it's going to be a tough afternoon, and you need the crowd on board, basically, to that 12th man.
Well, of course. I mean, let's put it in perspective. We're playing a team in Division 1. They were holding their own comfortably in there. We've got to create, it would be the biggest upset of the round, probably of the tournament so far. And we know that, we've got to be at our best, and maybe need Northampton just to dip below theirs. But we've certainly, believe we've got an outside chance. And as I said, we've got some good players who, on their day could upset anybody. And we've got to believe that we can create a major upset.
And when it comes to exposure for the club, it's obviously you're no stranger now to two cup runs in the FA Cup. But the press attention as well, that must be welcome for the club too.
Of course it is. I mean, it's a new experience for certain players. A few players have experienced it before, but it's all good for the club. And, yes, the league is paramount, and that's your bread and butter, and where ultimately you get judged. But in non-league, to have runs in the FA Cup, it can revitalise or can kickstart a football club, and to a degree, that's certainly what it's done for ourselves. And it's we keep saying it doesn't come around too often, but we've done it 5 in 8 years, which is a phenomenal achievement, and we should enjoy it and relish it, and that's what we're doing at present.
And we mentioned last week on when we're talking about FA Trophy matches for other clubs that any form of cup run is welcome, because it encourages you to win games and that kind of thing. And the last time we had you on, Gary, we talked about how you juggle the league form with a cup run. 5-0 against Workington, I think puts out a message about where your squad is at the moment.
Yeah, very much so. I mean, it was we were two teams went into the game with good form, and I don't think Workington had conceded a goal in 4 games. But they caught us on a very, very good first half, and we were 5-0 up in 27 minutes, and it doesn't get much better than that. So it enabled me to look after a few players, get a few players pitch time. and obviously going into Northampton game in good form and good confidence.
And 2 points now from the playoff positions, Guy. I don't want to add more to your plate, but whenever the cup run finishes, it looks like you're in a good spot at the moment in the slipstreams of several clubs now.
Yeah, I think that was key last Saturday, and I said that before the game. I said we're now going into two cup games, one a massive FA Cup game, and then we've got the League Cup on Tuesday. But I said it'd be nice when we do readdress where we are in the league that 3 points today will put us in a good position, and that's why I was very pleased. So we've got it all to do. I was saying yesterday there's potentially maybe 14 clubs who are very much in with a shout of the playoffs, and it bodes for an exciting season.
Well, don't take your eye off the ball. It's the FA Cup on Sunday, and Gary, we wish you all the best of luck to you, everyone associated with Stourbridge. It's the 2 o'clock kickoff. Get to that football ground if you're in the area. If not, it's on Black Country Radio. Gary Hackett, all the best from everyone here at the MPL show.
Thanks, Ben. Much appreciated.
So, Gary Hackett there at Stourbridge, wish them all the best of luck.
He made a lot of sense, didn't he?
Didn't he?
He did, as ever.
It's the classic conversation. I mean, we might as well talk about Stourbridge now. Unlike in previous years where the FA Cup affects you big time, they are 10th, but they're only 2 points from the playoffs. It's a remarkable position considering they've had a very good cup run, Stourbridge.
And they're in really good form as well. They're unbeaten in the past five and winning four of those. So they're actually finally, after we keep every month we've mentioned, when is Stourbridge going to kind of kick into gear and make a move? Well, they're doing it now. Mm-hmm. And they are only 2 points outside the top five, so they'll be feeling really good. They're managing to juggle this cup and league commitment. Malarkey.
I don't buy all this. Oh, the FA Cup, it's a distraction. No, it's not a distraction. No. If you keep winning your games, it just spreads confidence right throughout the squad. And they're firing on all cylinders at the minute. Luke Benbow's unstoppable. 15 goals already for the campaign. And when you've got Benbow, you've got a chance, haven't you? The Admiral.
We had six or seven managers on last week, and we were saying the same thing about the FA Trophy, about it not being a distraction anymore, about it being financially beneficial, obviously, but also about that point about just winning matches.
Yeah, the trophy's a chance.
Mm. And yes. A few of the managers also said that with the Doodson. As well.
I think when you're winning, you just want to play all the time. I think it's more annoying if you've got postponements and then your momentum is genuinely interrupted because either you can't train or you're not out there to train. When you're winning, everyone suddenly doesn't feel the niggles and the aches that they previously had, and they just want to play as often as they possibly can to keep that run going.
Now, I mentioned the FA Trophy there, the third qualifying round happened last week, and commiserations firstly to Michelover Sports. A good effort, I thought, taking it to a replay against Brackley Town.
Definitely.
Also, commiserations to Lincoln United, who went out against Kidderminster Harriers, as well as Ramsbottom United, who went out against AFC Telford United. Congratulations to Shaw Lane, a phenomenal result that against Nantwich Town.
Can we not commiserate with Nantwich?
Commiserations to Nantwich as well. We did say, though, that it would be a brave man. A brave man to predict that Charlene wouldn't do that.
They've knocked out three Premier Division teams already in the trophy this year, and was it Andrew Snaith who said they are a Premier Division side in waiting?
A top half Premier Division.
Indeed.
Side. Indeed. Decent side, to be honest, because I was at that game.
Go on, tell us more.
Went to it, and they were worthy winners. They absolutely dominated the first half, and in good style, good footballing style as well. They've got some capable players there. Of decent non-league pedigree, but Nantwich maybe thought they were just going to go and beat them at their ease. In the second half, they must have got a bit of a ear drumming, and they came out and did show for about maybe 15 minutes or so. 15 to 20 minutes.
Cookie got a golden.
He did. He got a free kick and well taken free kick and all right footer in the top 90. From about 25 yards, something like that. So he'd done really, really well there. And they looked as though they were going to get in it, but took the foot off the accelerator again. And Shaw Lane, in the end, deserved the 3-1 win and possibly, could have scored a couple more goals in the first half when they had all that possession.
Berker, just to let you know, Gavin Allett scored the the third goal if you want to do anything about Gavin Allen, because we've not mentioned him.
Oh, he's a tremendous player. Oh.
That's what was happening. So commiserations to Nantwich Town, but a big congratulations to Charlene. Well done to Stocksbridge Park Steels, taking Stalybridge to a replay. Definitely. When that replay will happen, who knows?
January.
Yes, absolutely. So let's get to the big congratulations then. A big congratulations goes to Matlock Town.
So, joining me now to discuss just how well Matlock Town did in the third qualifying round of the FA Trophy, we're now joined by one of the joint managers. It's the welcome return of Craig Hopkins. Hello, Craig. How's things?
Hello, Ben. I'm good, thanks, mate. How are you?
I'm all good. So, firstly, a big congratulations on the result on Tuesday night. That's phenomenal, really, really is.
Thanks, Ben.
But on Saturday, you take the lead just before half-time, and then you get that punch in the gut in a way from Alex Simmons getting that equaliser with 9 minutes to go. And they always say the underdog doesn't do well in replays. So what were you thinking after Saturday's result?
Well, like you say, Ben, we played well on Saturday. And just before they scored, we were just getting to the point where we're thinking, you know, we've taken the sting out of the game. We're playing well. We're on top, you know. We look like we've seen it out, and then as football does, it goes and bites you on the bum, and they equalise, and that's that. But as far as Tuesday night are concerned, we went there and we were positive, and you know we went and had a good go. We said to the lads, "There's no reason why we can't come here and win." We played Halifax pre-season and drew 2-2. Obviously, we drew with them on Saturday, and in all honesty, Ben, in the two games, there's nothing between the teams. So we were saying there's no reason why we can't come here and win, and you know that's what we did.
But once again, though, in this case, on Saturday you let a one goal lead slip, and on Tuesday night you let two goal lead slip, and you know they get back into the game, they get the equaliser, but this time they've got 20 minutes to try and seal the deal, but then. Teddy Cribbley pops up.
Yeah, I mean, the first half we were superb. We've come in 2-0 up. They came out second half and had a real good go at us for 20 minutes. But in them 20 minutes, Ben, we've got chances. We've had chances that we've missed. And it's like watching a car crash. You know what's coming if you keep missing your chances. And right enough, they come back to 2-2. But once they come back to 2-2, the game switched again and, you know, we got on top again and it was us having the chances. So, and then when we did go 3-2 in front, again, we didn't think we were going to give it up this time, you know, so, you know, we saw it out really well.
And once again, I mean, we've got Gary Hackett on this week and we talk about that win against Whitehall. You know, people take that as for granted a bit. Halifax, they're doing really well in the National League North. It's a hell of an outcome.
They've got some great players there, Ben. You know, and we looked at their bench on Tuesday night thinking, wow, you know, they're bringing Matty Casolo on and he scored and the guy they brought on the other side, he came on and scored, and strength in depth, and they've got 17, 18 very good players. So, you know, they'll be top five, Halifax, I'm sure, in Conference North this year. So, but yes, it's a great result, yeah.
And obviously we're going to do the preview now, so you've got all the best of luck and the best chance of getting through to the second round proper as well. Travelling to Solihull Moors, Liam McDonald's now managing that club. And what do you think? I mean, there's a good chance. I'm gonna say it. There is a good chance against them.
Do you think so, Ben?
I think so, yes.
I'm not sure, mate. Well, I'll tell you what we will do, though. I promise you we'll go and have a go. We'll go there and have a real go at them. That's what we'll do. So, you never know in cup football, you know. 16, 17 players that we've got at the minute, you know, it's definitely not beyond us to go there and win. So, yeah, we'll go and give it our best shot.
And just a closing thought with regards to the league. It's back to league matters this weekend. And Matlock Town now, I know we discussed it last week, but you've got you travelled to Stafford Rangers on Saturday.
Yeah.
Matlock Town, you're on the same number of points as Hensford Town. You've got two games in hand over them. You're doing all right. I know you want to keep it under the radar, but you're doing all right in the league, Matlock, at the moment.
Yeah, we're doing okay. I mean, the last league game at Barwell, we weren't so good. We went there and got beat 1-0, but they were very good on the night and we were not so good, Ben. But you know what it's like in this league. If you drop your standards 5%, 10%, you're going to get beat. So we'll just need to make sure we go to Stafford tomorrow on our game. And, you know, same as I always say, we'll be going there, try and win.
Well, Craig, thank you for coming on the show, taking the time out of your busy day. Big congratulations to you and Glenn Kirkwood and the rest of the management team there and all the players and all the fans and all the volunteers. It's absolutely cracking. A big congratulations. Hope you're going to be joined by many more clubs as well. But Craig Hopkins, thanks for coming on the show.
Thanks very much for your time, Ben.
Matlock Town winning at the Shea.
Beating the holders.
Yes, and the thing to say as well about Halifax Town is they are big spenders in the National League North, and that's a hell of a result, that, by Matlock Town.
Yeah, an absolute stonker. And don't look back, Dinanga. Marcus Dinanga is absolutely flying at the moment. No, he's a
what
really...
did you just do?
It definitely happened.
No, you know, when we mention Matlock, generally what happens is we go, oh, yeah, they quite a functional side, they do what they do, and then I chip in and say, but they've got Ted Cribbley. Well, they've also got Marcus Dinanga now, who's got the flair, he's got the excitement that fans like to watch.
Oh, we should say as well, congratulations to Marine taking Darlington to a replay back at
Merseyside. That's a very, very good draw.
Definitely. But, result of the round, I'm going to suggest, on the 3G pitch there in the Midlands, Tamworth 0, Farsley Celtic of our beloved Division 1 North.
So a cracking result midweek for Farsley Celtic, and joining me now, it's the welcome return of the manager, Neil Parsley. Hello, Neil, how's things?
I'm very well, buddy, yourself?
I'm all good. So I said to you off air, I really can't wait for this interview because I want to know what happened. Obviously on Saturday, Farsley Celtic drew 2-2 with Tamworth, and you were unlucky on Saturday, weren't you, in that one?
We thought we were, yes. When you concede 3 minutes into stoppage time against a team from, you know, two leagues higher up the pyramid than yourselves, you think, well, you know, it just wasn't meant to be. We got our noses in front, Ben, through James Walshaw, and then not a minute later, Wally again hit the bar underneath the bar and it came out. They got an equaliser, and then Jacob Hazel scored a great goal with 2 or 3 minutes to go, and then you think, just see it out. And in that time, we defended really well. We played in the right areas and what have you, but they scored a decent equaliser. And then you got it all to do again on a Tuesday, which, you know, as you know, we're semi-pro, so lads are working, and it was an early set-off time and everything like that. But do you know what? Everything clicked into place, and the performance clicked into place on Tuesday night. And from 1 to 16, everybody contributed to an absolutely top draw performance against an accomplished Tamworth side.
It's more than top draw. It's like four Chester draws on top of one another, and the top draw of that. It's absolutely incredible. And we were saying last week, basically, that, you know, the underdog, it is all on the first game. If you can get it done in the first game, great. But the likelihood of doing it in the replay is less apparent. And, you know, Farsley Celtic, we were mentioning the pitch last week and how important it was to get a cauldron atmosphere at Throstle's Nest. But then to go to Tamworth in a replay after everything that happened in the first game on their 3G pitch at their gaff to beat them 4-0, it's absolutely outstanding.
Well, I appreciate your kind words, and you know, I've got to say the way Tamworth conducted themselves as well. You know, they were very humble in their congratulations after the game. I'm sure it was difficult for them and what have you, but they congratulated us. They said, you know, best side won on the night and the likes of, but you know, we train on the 4G, and even though we were going down there, I wouldn't say we were confident, but we weren't afraid of going and putting on a show and competing with Tamworth, far from it. And, you know, that was upheld in the level of performance that we turned out.
Absolutely. And we've touched on James Walshaw, but a hat-trick for the lad as well. That's good going, to be fair, against a National League North side who are doing quite well in two divisions above.
Absolutely. I mean, Wally's played a lot of his football at Conference North, so he knows a lot of the sides anyway. You know, he likes to remind us that he's got 17 goals now, but, you know, a lot of them are in the cup competitions this season. But, you know, his goals are invaluable on the way we play to give us that platform to, you know, for the rest of the lads to cement what he brings to the side.
And you know what? I'm not having it. We mentioned the goal scorer. There's also a clean sheet to be said as well. So, you know, that back line there and the goalkeeper and the midfield as well. They everybody, basically. It's just cracking.
I'm glad you mentioned the clean sheet because, you know, the keeper's been excellent for us this season. And old cliches, don't need clean sheets in football matches. But as an ex-defender, I'm a firm believer in that. And we limited Tamworth in every department on Tuesday night.
Now we'll get the preview for the next round out of the way now, so you've got all the best of luck going into it in a week Saturday. But Southport are coming to town, and I'm going to say it now. I might as well. You've got a very, very good chance, haven't you?
Every team's got a chance in any football match, Ben.
Yeah.
Firm believer in that. John Deasy, who is also managing with me alongside me. At Throstles, you know, he knows Steve Burr really well. I know Steve from playing days back in the day when everything was black and white. He's a good guy who sets his sights up well. We're under no illusions. Listen, the conference premier, aren't they? So we've got it all to do, but we'll give it our best shot. And, you know, I won't say it's a free game for us. It's a game which we can enjoy, and everybody likes the pats on the back in life, and certainly our players, our squad of players, deserve that in what they've achieved and the level of performance that they've turned out. So if we're anything like what we're capable of against Southport, we're going to give them a game, and that's all we ask.
And just before you go, obviously you've been demoted this week. You're not going to be on the Division 1 show, but we might as well touch upon it. Farsley Celtic, we mentioned you in Lancaster City. You're up there with so many games in hand. It's going to be difficult to bring the boys down again, but it's pivotal this weekend's match against Trafford.
Trafford are decent. Bakes has got a good side over there, and Deese and I have watched them twice in the last 3 weeks because they've played locally over here in Yorkshire. They beat us 1-0 at their place earlier on in the season. Make no mistake, these are decent. They're a decent side of Trafford. So, as you rightly point out, it's a toughie with the mental side of it after having a good performance on Tuesday. We've done it before this season. We need to prepare the team right mentally. We had a good training session last night, and hopefully we give an account of ourselves which is up with the levels that we've been setting ourselves this season.
Well, Neil Parsley, manager at Farsley Celtic, a big thank you for coming on this month's MPL show. And on behalf of all the listeners, a big congratulations to you, all your coaching staff and all the players and everyone associated with the club. Absolutely fantastic. And all the best of luck getting through to the second round of the FA Trophy a week Saturday.
That's brilliant. Thanks very much for your coverage, Ben.
Absolutely amazing.
That's what I say. Last week I did mention Farsley could give us a proper go, but it was all dependent on how they came out of the blocks.
I'll remind you. We said that was one of the toughest games.
Was.
And the only way Farsley Celtic were going to get anything out of that was if the pitch played its part and the stadium did. And it transpired that wasn't actually true, because they went to their place on the 3G and beat them 4-0. And James Walshaw there, congratulations to him, a hat trick, superb.
Yeah, to go with his goal on Saturday as well.
So when's these other matches going to take place? We've got a couple of people round the table who are aware of issues to do with frost.
And fog.
Wait, and Albion came close to finishing the match, didn't they, against Boston?
They gave it a good go on Saturday, and we're 1-0 up at half time. And I would wager cruising into the next round before the referee, quite rightly, I have to say, did call the game off.
Right, fog. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Should matches be postponed for mild fog?
It wasn't mild, though.
How far could you see?
I'm sat on... You've been to Witten before, sit. I couldn't see anything that was happening on the far side of the field.
Did you clean the window?
Throw-ins. That's a very good shout. And when the ball was in the air and then coming down, you were losing it, and defenders were losing sight of the ball. It was a little bit. I mean, Carl McCauley even said he couldn't complain. And normally, if you're winning 1-0 and going through, he would have been ripe to be the one to say this is a disaster. So anyway, I don't know what's the manager's take.
what they used to say was, if you can stand onto the centre circle and you can see both goals from that spot, then that was a good line of view. What they do say now, through officialdom, is that if the linesman on one side can't see the linesman on the other side,
right,
then that is...
That makes sense.
Yeah, that is the problem. Obviously, if you have a slightly similar strip, offside decisions... Yes.
Yeah, fair point.
That's fog. Frost, though, has played a major part in most of these matches being postponed as well. Alti against Blyth was, from an FC perspective, we called off a game on Saturday at 10 past two, and everyone said it was going to be on. Everyone thought it was going to be on, and I think Alti had the same feeling, and Blyth arrived, and it wasn't. When it comes to this thing, because it was Witten as well, wasn't it? Getting the match back on again.
And I tweeted last night, nobody comes out of it looking good, because you follow the protocol. You get a local ref in, he looks at the pitch, speaks to the groundsman, middle of the afternoon, yeah, we're fine. Boston has set off to come to the game by that point. Do you look at weather forecasts? Weather forecast said temperatures are going to plummet. They did. Boston arrive in Northwich ready for the game. The appointed referee arrives. He takes a look at the pitch, isn't sure, and delayed his decision till 7 o'clock, and then went back out again and decided that there was a patch in one of the goal mouths that he felt was hard and was not going to have any opportunity to change, because it was only going to get colder. Calls the game off at about 7:10. Mm-hmm. By that point, yes, Boston are there, but Boston supporters are there as well. Yeah. And I think that's when it becomes, you know... I don't know if there's necessarily anybody to blame. Witten got a local ref and did what they were supposed to do, and he said, yeah, it's fine. I don't know. There maybe needs to be some clarification.
Alan made a point on Facebook.
Yes,
and he
did.
Put the weather forecast up for that evening and said it was predicted to go to -2. Because it's Witten, I'd imagine it's countryside. It's going to be even colder than that, isn't it? It's going to have no chance of even staying soft underfoot, is it?
And surely, in that respect... Getting a local referee who does understand the local climate around that area, surely, you know, he should have known a little bit better.
But it's not just Witten. FC did the same thing, and few clubs did the same thing. And
they've all been
caught out by this thing. And I don't remember it being like this before. I just remember games getting called off flat out. It's too hard.
This should be, especially for the fans, if they're travelling like distances from Boston.
Imagine Boston's an awful, which is horrible anyway.
I think Blyth on Tuesday night, they did turn up. And anyway, good luck to everyone trying to get a match on over the next fortnight anyway. It's going to be fun and games, certainly. Anyway,
the weather's going to be nice next week.
Do you reckon?
Yeah, I've ordered it.
And
you're going to thank me after that.
So that is the end of part one. Coming up in part two, we're going to be hearing all about the title and the playoff race in the Premier Division.
With over 500 high performance products in the EvoStick range, you may need a bigger van. EvoStick, the strongest adhesives you can buy.
Welcome back to the EvoStick NPL show for November here at the Heat and Hops, the award-winning Heat and Hops in South Manchester. Now, that's all the cup competition done and dusted. We'll do an integral dudes and roundup on EvoStick Extra in the next week.
There's still games tonight anyway.
Now then, coming up this weekend, we've got something called Super Saturday. Super Saturday? What's Super Saturday about? Let me tell you. It's about Blyth Spartans against Buxton.
Oof.
Boom. And Rush Olympic against Whitby Town.
You're kidding me?
Oh,
thank you, fix your computer.
It's almost meant to be. Now, Roy, you've been saying that this league is split into two, and that's how it's going to be. At the minute, I'm going to suggest it's splitting into four. I know, can you believe it? And at the moment, the title race is between four sides. Discuss, Roy.
I think Whitby Town are obviously in the lead position on merit. I can't honestly and truthfully say that I've seen them, but you know, the results I'm looking at, like, you know, decent goals for, decent goals against, keep picking up the points along the way. Buxton were flying quite high and then dropped off the pace a little bit. But to be honest, and all credit to them,
they picked up again, and they're
back in the fight again. So, you know, all credit to Martin, my favourite chairman, Donald Rushall.
John,
he's doing quality, yeah. He must have a really good experienced coach there alongside him. So, you know, great choice of technical advice there.
Well, it's an interesting one, because we asked him last week, because obviously one of the problems managers have in the non-league game is you don't tend to know what the chairman's thinking until the second half of the season, when you go, right, we need to up our budget and go for it, and then suddenly the chairman goes, maybe not. Whereas John's got the advantage of knowing exactly what the chairman's thinking.
Well, that's true. So that's most probably why he's paying his top goal scorer more money. So, you know, that's quality, that. But what I would say, like, you know, to be honest, the two games are superb, aren't they? You know, they're well set. 4 points, you know, between four teams. Blythe Spartans obviously have a couple of games in hand on everybody else. But, it's looking for a good, entertaining weekend, isn't it?
But well, the thing is, Rushall have been Rushall recently. In the last two games, they've dropped some serious points. In fact, all the top four have.
And to be honest, against Buxton as well.
I mean, exactly, that would have been. I'd say they could have been top of the league at this point. I'm not just by a point or two. By the points they've dropped, could be five or six clear.
Well, Whitby could be. It could be daylight, because they've only picked at 1 point in the last two games, so they'll be kicking themselves slightly that they've not made the most of that.
Well, never mind that though, Simo. But Whitby, if you include the cup competitions as well, they've only won 1 in 5. They lost against Gould, didn't they? Charlene lost. Hang on, let me start again. Just let me find out who you lost against.
That's a good effort. Anyway,
no, they did lose against. They lost against someone who you wouldn't expect them to lose.
Charlene lost to.
It was.
Hang on.
It was Gould in the trophy.
It was in. No, they did.
In the League Cup.
Yeah, sorry.
It was Duton.
They did lose against Gould.
Oh, yeah.
Well,
it wasn't in the league.
No, but it weren't. Not all right. It weren't in the league. But what we were saying earlier on about teams, you know, they're getting all giddy because they're winning games in all the minor competitions and all the cup competitions. And it carries through if you start losing the games as well, that you're not expecting to lose. So I assume that they had a weakened team out against Gourley, who aren't exactly firing on all cylinders in the First Division North. But you wouldn't, even so, you still wouldn't have expected them to lose that one. But then Buxton, they've not exactly been going for it, although they did beat Rushall 3-0 last week. Rushall, they've been stuttering. Blythe haven't played recently, but when they have played, 11-1. They banged in, I think it was 8 against some of another, probably Gould. Sorry, Gould. Was it Gould?
It was Gould.
Was it
David?
It was
genuinely
in the replay.
Don't you think
7-1?
Yeah, that's right.
There is a bit of after you, Claude, though, about this title race at the moment, because Whitby are top and they've lost 4 games, and it's November, and
Also, I'd be interested to see what Roy thinks. The goals have dried up in three of the past 4 games. They've not scored. Can a team who have only scored 28 goals in the first 21 games win the title?
Depends on how many 1-0s they can pull up. Because, I mean, at the end of the day, those are the important results. You know, those ones that you nip and tuck in, you know, over the 90-minute period, and then all of a sudden you get a little bit of luck or, you know, good fortune. Good bit of skill, whatever, and you win 1-0. And there's two teams that come to my mind straight away in the Premier Division, which are Chelsea and Arsenal.
But never mind them, Sully. What about Leicester last year?
Tremendous.
They never rolled anyone over.
And
to be honest, they one goal win every time.
And to be honest, they really, really epitomise Whitby, or vice versa.
Plus, also Whitby have got a bit more mindset off the pitch as well at this moment in time financially, with some issues going on with regards to.
The mast gate.
But so again, obviously, that's a bit of a distraction that they don't need at this moment in time. But again, they've shown that they can do less this time last year, going towards relegation, a distraction that they didn't need. And look what happened, rock bottom, and they got out of the bottom four straight away.
Well,
still
season. Time for relegated.
Do you agree with me that it is now those four for the title in November?
No.
Not in the slightest.
Because
no.
it requires now all four of them to drop. Ben, major points in the next few months.
Ben, it's a one-horse race. Blythe Spartans will win this division, by 10 points.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
Yes.
I was winning.
I just got to say, we would talk about, you know, I always talk about a team coming from the pack. They actually got a slamming over the weekend by Stourbridge, 5-0.
Workington
have come up
out of nowhere,
right away from nowhere, and again, you know, the same sort of ethics apply as regards Whitby. When teams have to travel there, you know, they better be going there ready for the battle, because those sort of teams put up the shops and have a go at you.
But they only crept over the line against Ramy last night.
Well,
so I don't know. I don't buy it with Workington, to be honest.
The thing is that it was last week, wasn't it, where people on the MPL Facebook group were saying, are you going to talk about how close it is? And it has been the last week it started to spread out again, so it could quite easily crunch up again. Yeah. But when it comes to the chasing pack, there's so many big clubs there and so many sides where you've got to go all the way down to, no disrespect to Michelova, but you've got to go down to Nantwich, haven't you, in 12th for realistic ambitions to get to the playoffs. And then even then, you can look at Michelova. We've got, when we spoke to the management at Michelova, John McGrath, last week, you can almost hear it in his voice that he's got confidence in that squad to pull something off this season.
Well, look, we're Nantwich, 12th position. Is that not halfway? Is that not what I said? What were you saying about four divisions?
What?
Split right down the middle, Ben. And I said this. When did I say this? Talk to me, Ben. Don't be shy.
In the season preview, I know.
Yeah, but the thing with Nantwich is, all right, they've got a few games in hand. In fact, they've got four games in hand. But if you pile them all together and they all result in a win, they'd be top of the table.
Well, also, if they sorted out their own form.
Well, Phil Parks has said, hasn't he? They need to buck up their ideas. I'm paraphrasing.
I think Nantwich will make the playoffs, actually.
Who's going to make the playoffs in November? Who do we think? Because this is silly now. It really is.
I think the problem we've got is these, I'm going to put this, these kind of unfashionable teams there, so we don't know. I know that's a real cop-out of an answer, but when you see the Whitby, Matlock are absolutely flying at the moment. Can they sustain it? We probably didn't expect Rushall to be up there, although, like you say, in the interview you did with John Allen, he was pretty bullish, saying we want to get in the National League North. But no one would have tipped him to be there, so it's really hard.
Maybe he's giving himself a good budget.
He could be. What do you reckon? I think it's possible.
I
think that's why Blythe are still, for me, you know, I know the fourth at the moment, but they have got that know-how, and I think that'll come in really handy. And the same way that Workington have got that to a point after getting to the playoffs, so they know what it takes. I still make Blythe favourites, but not by a big margin.
Is there
not
any,
by a 10-point margin?
Can I ask this question now? Of definite four for the playoffs?
No, I don't think so.
No,
not with what fifth place is in at the moment.
Just
sixth place is in at the moment.
I think because Stafford could.
I do mention Stafford a lot, right? But I don't want Hensford fans accusing me of showing them too much love.
They won't make the playoffs.
Oh, but they could, couldn't they?
Stafford could. They're sixth unbeaten at the moment, and they've had a great winning at Hensford in the trophy there. I think they've got the quality as well.
Yeah.
And the know-how with Neil Kitchen as the manager, they can definitely get up there.
And they've been converting the draws that they were getting early on in the season into 3 points at last. I'm with Simo on this 100%.
For Stafford?
Yeah.
No.
There's a couple of teams up there that will hunt him down at this moment in time. You've just got to look at this moment in time.
You know what Berkey said off air in the break of part one? He said, this rubbish this week, there's no arguing. Come on.
But the way I look at it, I'm looking at you know, the teams that are up there, there'll be a couple from the pack. I don't believe one of them will be Ashton United. I think they'll chug along as they have been doing. Stourbridge, if they can turn their cup form into league form, there's a chance. And you've also got Spennymoor.
Yeah, I was going to ask you what about Spennymoor.
Spennymoor's gone off the boil a little bit
in the road.
Yeah, they have.
Yeah, they've gone off the boil a little bit. But you know what? You know, quality always comes to the surface again, and you don't know. The biggest thing for me at this moment in time, it isn't only the budgets, because it isn't all about the budgets. It's about the players, and it's about getting your best players onto the field consistently, week in and week out. And if you cop for a few suspensions or, you know, injuries, like I know a couple of teams have, you know, you'll struggle. You know, it's that little bit of confidence and that little continuity of being able to pick a regular team. And all this, I've said it before, all this rotation, leave that to the Premier League, yeah, and Sky Football, because it does not work in non-league football.
I just wanted to pick up very, because it follows on quickly from what you said about confidence and kind of mentality and psychology. If you're a manager of a Whitby or a Rushall or a Matlock, say no one expected to be there, how would you tackle this? Would you continue to play it down and say, well, we're doing great at the moment, but not really look much better? Or what, at what point do you start saying to the players, or to become apparent to the players, do you know what, we've got a great chance here? How do you kind of manage that? Certainly in November it's quite difficult, I guess.
First of all, you get yourself an Italian accent and you start
don't
talking
say about
the
pizza,
pizza.
Oh, okay.
And the pizza will be out. But I mean, that's what it's all about. You've got to emulate what Ranieri did.
He just kept saying,
you know, yeah, we'll keep going, we'll enjoy it while we can, we'll work hard, and that's all you can do, you know, and it's down to the lads on the field.
Here's a question for you. Clubs like Workington, Whitby and Blyth, over the next 2 months, are they going to have a bit of an unfair advantage in the fact that none of their games are going to get called off for frost or anything like that?
But at the same time, you can say it the other way around, can't you? Because come later in the season, them teams there will have, you're going to be looking at more heavy
things.
They'll
have the worst weather in a lot of them,
exactly. Yeah, really, but they've got salt though, haven't they? For the frost, it's just natural.
Well, that means Nantwich is going to be, and Northwich and Whitby is going to be on every week. They've got bloody salt mines there.
But it's cracking up to December, certainly the league table. It's fascinating to look at. And as we said, there teams like, I mean, Barwell have started to pull.
That's what
I was getting worried. Yeah. I was getting worried about Barwell, but three wins on the spin now. We're back in the game, aren't they?
Yeah, they're all capable. It's superb.
Yeah, we go back 2 months now. We're looking at teams again like Safford, like Mickleover, and Nantwich. Teams that weren't necessarily in the positions they're supposed to be, but now they're either gaining the form that they were expecting them to, or they've started dropping that down. So we get example here again. I know we're not talking relegation number, but Marine, Barwell have been on horrendous runs. I know they've got a couple of good wins recently, but before that, I think there were 4 or 5 defeats.
Yeah.
But so again, you're looking at them teams now, and it's like the teams that should have been performing, and we all predicted to perform, are now starting to come into it. It's going to be a case of one or two of them who left it a bit too late to wake up, if that makes sense.
Okay, you've got a Columbo look on your face.
Is there anything to be said for Colville Town? Now, they're miles away, I know that, but the goal scoring machines, they score three goals a game pretty much, don't they? Now, if they can sort the back line out, they're going to be laughing.
But this is what we're saying after 6 games, why they were like going for the playoffs, and you said exactly the same thing, if you remember.
But then
they fell off. Exactly.
They fell away.
They went to the point where it was like 2 points off the bottom four.
Anyway, speaking of the bottom four, that is the end of part two. When we come back, we're going to be discussing that bottom four.
Oh, did you want a sound effect?
Welcome back to the Heat and Hops here in South Manchester.
The what?
The Heat and Hops.
The
award-winning Heat and Hops.
Twice award-winning now,
in
it?
South Manchester. Yeah. Oh, they won another award?
Oh, yeah, they're flying off the shelves, these awards.
My goodness. Yeah. Round the table, we've got the great and good of the non-league world. We've got Andrew Simpson from the Mid-Cheshire Guardian.
Hello.
We've got Ian Burke from Radio Manchester.
Hi, Ben.
We've got Mr. Roy Sewell, non-league legend.
Good evening.
And from the NPL Facebook group, we've got James Hayes. Your correspondence is coming up in a second or two, as soon as James Hayes' phone loads. But in the meantime, just a quick mention for the relegation picture at the moment. And,
stop clicking your pen.
Sorry. And Terry Christian told me off.
Really?
Did it?
Yeah, for banging the table. He said you shouldn't bang the table.
Terry Christian listens to this podcast.
No, Terry Christian, I was interviewing him on FC Radio and he told me off. So, the relegation picture. Gary Mills at Corby Town has been bringing in players left, right and centre.
Mm.
Is it too late?
Well, it's not worked so far, has it?
No.
It does in a way. They've had a couple of peaks, haven't they, in the last month?
They had a couple of games, but other than that...
Is it too late for Corby Town?
It's
starting in a minute this weekend, then maybe they're playing each other this weekend.
I mean, they just cannot score anyway. They've had the odd one or two games where they're scoring 3 and 4, but other than that, it's like 6 weeks apart, and they're getting, it's starting to turn a bit more into, dare say it, Joel's doing Hyde's.
9 points is quite a lot. Don't
bring Hyde into this. One thing they have got though is Stephen Moore. He's played in the Premier League, he's played in the Championship. He's played in the League One. He's played in the Conference. He's played Step Five. Step Two, Step Three, Step Four, Step Five, Step Six, Step Nine, and Step 14, or something daft like that. No, Stephen Moore is
the Brett Armerod of
the Brett Armerod of the Northern Premier League. No, he knows where the back of the net is, and I think he's an absolutely fantastic signing for Corby. Assuming he's still got the magic. I've not seen him play in a couple of years.
At the same time, a lot of players that drop down to this level don't seem to be able to.
Example. You're missing the point. He dropped down, 5-6 years ago when he went to St. Neots and he was scoring 50-60 goals a season because he was enjoying himself. He had his taxi firm and he was dead happy running that, and he just wanted to play football on this side. He weren't bothered about playing.
This is your life.
Oh,
and and so he's gone, you know what? He's gone, I could still play in the Premier Division, the Evil Stick Premier Division, not a problem at all. I can get a taxi down there for free because I own the firm. Not a problem. I can go to training on a Tuesday night if there's no game, and I can go on a Thursday night anyway. I can get a lift off one of my lads.
Have a few pints
get afterwards.
Get a taxi back.
Yep, not a problem. And I'll get picked up, because if they don't pick me up, I'll just sack them. So he's carrying on playing at Corby Town, scored a few goals, admittedly, mainly penalties. But, you know, if you're good at taking penalties, it's a bonus.
So, Corby, is it too late for Corby?
If Corby are going to stand a chance, they're going to have to win three games on the bounce straight away, and the teams around them are going to have to lose three games on the bounce.
Well, this weekend, Super Saturday, Sutton Coldfield Town against Corby Town. That leads me on to my next question then. Richard Sneakers has taken over at Sutton Coldfield Town now.
Swampy's favourite.
Sutton Coldfield.
They have a lot to build on there. Richard Sneakers has got a very, very tough task. He's capable of doing it, but they've got to go straight away and get the results. Obviously, this weekend's going to be crucial for him to get something out of it.
Teagot, you're absolutely right. Richard Sneakers is capable. His players aren't, though.
That's the thing. But he's got to get the mentality behind him there. He can pick up some good results, and they have done. Remember rightly, obviously down the bottom end of the table, they are getting the results when they need them. It's against the mid-table sides where the odd point or two can come in. That's why they're not getting it.
Yeah.
It's one of the lowest scorers in the league, and they've conceded the most at the same time. So again, the defence is going to be the first thing Richard will be looking at, don't get me wrong. But this is going to, again, against a team that isn't scoring. If they, let's say, Sutton Coldfield don't get anything out of this game,
they played more than the rivals at the bottom as well.
And it's a question I said I'd ask Roy this week. Taking over management of a side down the bottom end of the table, is it easy to do a rebuilding job in those circumstances and to try and bring in the players to pick things up, like Corby Town have tried and like Sutton Coldfield Town are trying at the moment? How difficult is it?
It's very difficult if you haven't seen your teams actually play previously. I mean, if they do get a chance of having a good look at them, then they know roughly, you know, where they need to strengthen, and you know, hopefully in that little bit of time, you know, they've gone out and maybe had a few words with a couple of players that have played for them previously. You know, it's all about you know, prior knowledge of what you're actually going to have to do when you get in there, and maybe, you know, availability of certain players.
Yeah, getting lads in is a big one.
It is
really
difficult.
Tough.
Yeah, it is difficult, and you know. It's so hard. It is so hard. Like, you know, people don't realise. You know, I think you just turn up and, you know, it's not just about putting a team on a field. It's about a squad each day, you know, in each game. That's 16 people that have to all be there regularly and want to do the challenge of battling week in and week out. And if they're up for it and they get a couple of good results early doors, that, you know, it gives you that little kick on. If you have a little bit of indecision, and look, don't always seem to go for you when you're down the bottom, you know, little decisions go against you, and those are frustrating, you know. So, and all this, you know, this garbage about levelling themselves out at the end of the season, they don't level out. The teams at the bottom, you only got to look at the Premier League, teams at the bottom don't get the half decisions, the teams at the top do, and that's a fact.
And that then leads me on to the next three teams that I'd like to talk about. Skelmersdale United, Ilkeston and Frick the Athletic. Now, Skem, when we heard from Mr. Lawson at Skem, they're bringing in new players all the time, and he's got high hopes of getting out of there. When you listen to Paul Holland on Ilkeston TV, he's got high hopes of getting out of there. We spoke to Lee, didn't we? And Lee at Frickley, high hopes of getting out of there.
He did a good interview, by the way.
Yeah. And there's two spots there.
Yeah, but Ben, it's part of the problem, bringing new players in all the time. You, at the start of the season, you get your new squad in, and you go, you know what, we're going to do all right this season. And then all of a sudden, you start getting beaten week in, week out. And you have a look around the dressing room, and you start doubting yourself, you start doubting the players. And so that's when the new faces come in, and you start bringing too many new faces in, and there's no solidity there. The players are worried that they're going to be out on their ear the next week, and they've got Max Hazeldine there who's doing all that from at the minute, actually. But you can't be a one man team, unfortunately, in any division. And
out of those three, who are you most worried about?
Skem,
Ilkeston,
Marine.
What?
Don't spread it out. No, I've been serious.
Wait. There's a structure to this show, believe it or not.
You know, I would say something on what you just said there, Berkey. If you bring too many players in at one time, it's very fortunate if they knit off, right away, unless they're very familiar with one another. You know, in a little catchment area, they all know one another, personally, and also as a footballer.
Yeah.
But if you could cop for a really good, decent name, sometimes that can pick the lads up, in the dressing room. And if you can pick a decent name that has a bit of experience that can act as a leader and organise things, and really I'm talking about, from the back.
Like an Adam Jones character.
That can really help you out.
Yeah, I think that's a great point. I've seen two recent seasons when I've reported on Witten having problems at the bottom of the Premier Division, and the season they stayed up, they had Michael Powell, who did exactly that, what you were saying, a leader, rallied the group. They had the goals of Alex Tichton, which helped, but it was Powley that really
drug them. Is that what missed them?
And that's what I was going to bring the point about. That's why I'm worried about Ilkeston. Really, really young side.
Mm-hmm.
You need. I know I keep saying, but you do need that know-how at this level, like a little bit of ugliness. And I don't think that they've got it. And I would. That's why I'm worried for them. Young lads not used to being in that situation. They've been in the bottom four all season because obviously they started there because they were behind them.
And it is surprising they've not worked their way up.
A little bit. I mean, there's a glimmer. They had a good point against Whitby. They'll take some heart from that. But I just feel that Skem have got the advantage of Tommy Lawson, and I think the manager can make a big difference as well. And I'm a big fan of Tommy, and that's why I think he will get them out of it. And Frickley, they've had a horrendous fixture list. They've had five last six games, have been away, but they've picked up three wins in that time.
Yeah.
So, I thought Lee did a great interview on the podcast, and he made me believe that he can keep them up.
And that then leads me on to Marine, James. Now's your chance. I can only blame myself. It's partly my fault.
Really. Marine are there again.
It's my interview I did with him at Stafford. It's all gone wrong since, and I apologise. But
that's the thing. It has been going on.
Don't say that's the thing. It wasn't nothing to do with it. But Marine, they are dropping.
They are dropping, but they've been dropping since mid October now, realistically speaking. I mean, obviously, they've got the good run in the FA Trophy, but they just can't seem to do anything in the league at all. They've lost the last four or five in a row. They've lost two good strikers.
Is this just a bad patch then, whilst teams like Stafford and Colville and Barwell
have been going on since the start of the millennium?
Yeah, but they drew against Darlington away in the trophy. Yeah, they're not that bad.
But cup competition can sometimes change that morale, and that's what, for me, that's a good draw for them to get them back for the replay.
Definitely.
But at the same time, there.
They've got two new signings coming for Blackpool, haven't they?
Yeah, but again, you've got a lot of games against them at this moment. I can see out the bottom six at this moment in time. Obviously, let's forget Cardiff. Marina more likely to get swamped in, especially if Skelmersdale pick up the form and sell him for Ilkeston. Obviously, he's going to be a lot more stressed at the same time.
I think Marina will be absolutely fine.
Now, is there anybody? Obviously, Colville were down there for a while, and then they started to string the results together. Hales Owen. They've been 15th, 16th all season, haven't they?
Yeah.
Grantham and Mickleover have been cracking seasons for them. in comparison to previous years.
Grantham, aren't they? They were doing okay last year.
No, some of the results they're picking up have been like, where has that come from? Yeah, so they are very good.
Colville, for me, would be the worry. They have got the worst home record in the division.
If it's going to be any team, if it's going to be any team that could potentially slide down there, I reckon it could be Colville, but they know they've got that possibility to fight back a little bit.
But they've got the firepower to
that. That will make a difference.
Confidence level, I'll tell you, confidence levels act really big on players. It affects the, you know, continuity, the way they strut about, their body language, you can see it. And at this moment in time, I'm looking at them, you know, in that sort of position, and they can't be happy, regardless of whether they played like 18 games or whatever. They can't be happy with that league position.
No, they would have been expecting to be doing about
exactly. So that's my feelings, you know. I'm looking at Colville. Colville and the team, I think you have to draw the line at, and until Stafford get over Colville and start getting out of that bottom eight, they're in the fight.
And this weekend, we've touched upon it, it is Super Saturday. There's some cracking boom banger bang fixtures taking place. Rush Olympic against Whitby Town, amazing. Blyth Spartans against Buxton, amazing. Just absolutely superb.
Ben, is there any doubt, by the way, that the First Division North is stronger than the First Division South?
That's the Division 1 show, and that's coming up in also on this channel, if you've not heard it already. But thank you for the plug. There is some other big games as well. Ashton United hosting Spennymoor Town.
With
both clubs looking for a bit of a...
beat them last week.
Yeah. And I tell you what, the two clubs with the best kits in the division.
Yeah. The only thing with Ashton going into that one is they've got a lot of suspensions and injuries at this moment in time, so they've got a lot
more. They've had some weird home results as well. They got battered by Frickley and
that's what I mean. They've been getting, I think it's like a man sent off for the last 4 weeks or something like that. So again, it's starting to pick up. So what Sully was saying before.
Well, maybe they're distracted because Cavalcoo's releasing an album.
What?
Leave that there.
Yes.
If Stafford Rangers are going to leapfrog
Colville. Photo album.
They still do them. They still do them.
Gospel rap. It is.
Gospel rap.
It is.
Hallelujah.
He's the right back, isn't he?
Yeah, that's right.
Stafford Rangers, if they're going to leapfrog Colville, they've got a tough game this weekend at Marston Road against Matlock Town. Mm-hmm. Boom. We've also got, one of the games of the day, Workington against Hensford Town. That's quite a taster. Down the bottom end, we've got Barwell against Skem, Colville Town against Nantwich Town, Frickle Athletic are hosting Warrington, Ilkeston are playing Grantham, Marina are playing Hillsowen Town. That's on Colville against Carbury.
Yeah, that's a cracking, you know, Super fixture, Saturday. That one. Marine and Hillsowen, you know, they've both got something to fight for there. You know, to get out of them bottom eight.
Yeah, this is going to be the weekend for Sully to prove yourself wrong there, Ben, because this is going to be the weekend where...
I've got an opinion. What are you talking about?
No, where we could potentially see two divisions or three divisions in the league, if that makes sense. Because obviously the results go against, like, the 5th, 6th, 7th, the top four could start running away with it here. I know they're both playing each other, but results...
It'll all be snowed off anyway.
That's true. Disclaimer, do check your Twitter feed and your club's website before setting off.
I'll be up.
And even that might not be enough.
Yeah, and even that might not be enough. Well spotted. Before we go, just a quick mention for your correspondence on the MPL Facebook group. Yeah,
handful of comments tonight.
Handful?
Yes. Anyway, James Griffiths from Matlock Town. I'm still floating on the ceiling and will not be coming down for some considerable time. Don't blame me there. George Rothwell, Hyde fan. Too many draws at this moment in time.
Hello, George. Yeah. Hello, Thomas.
Mark Keohan, Rackley fan. We're starting to see a lot of discomfort at this moment. So
discomfort?
Just needs to get back to winning ways. And finally, Mark Joyce. I believe it is another one of his little rants, but it's actually a good one this time, believe it or not. Promotion back on track after the foggy result against Rushall. How I roll, Ben. Blyth, another big game, and while the club is laying on the coach of the players... Good luck, undecided, where it's up to Blyth. Good luck to all the teams this weekend. Hopefully all officials get it right this weekend. But remember, they are only human, folks.
Go, it's a great away day.
That was Joyce saying that.
Joyce being diplomatic. That is the end of the EvoStick NPL show for November. Look out for the Division 1 show, also out on this podcast channel, where this month we'll be speaking to the managers at Ossett Town, Colwyn Bay, Colne FC, Newcastle Town, Spalding and Basford. I mean, first question to Martin Carruthers at Basford is Baseford or Basford?
Yeah, can you clarify that?
We spoke to the chairman last year. Plus, we weren't listening properly. He did clarify what it was.
Oh, we can't remember.
But can't remember.
Was it a delayed discussion from last month because Berkey wasn't here?
What?
4-0.
Never mind. Oh. We'll come to that in the first division show. Because. Oh!
Leave it. Andrew Simpson from the Midchester Guardian, thank you.
Thank you.
Mr. Ian Burke from Radio Manchester, thank you very much.
Thanks, Ben, and sorry.
Roy Sewell, non league legend, thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
And James Hayes from the NPL Facebook group, thank you. And how can you get involved with the NPL Facebook group?
Facebook.com/groups/the NPL, or on Twitter at the NPL group, which I'll be up from 7 o'clock making sure pitches are okay and games are on.
What are you doing on the ground keeping? Amazing service you're offering there. So from everyone here...
I'm available this weekend though, if anyone...
So from everyone here at the Heat and Hops in South Manchester, this has been the Evo Stick NPL show for November.
The last one where it's nice and easy for you to
One piece back next month with the Christmas special. And that has been everyone here at the Heat and Hops. You have a lovely time wherever you're going to cheer on your NPL side.
Oh, I've not seen any of the football this year, but I've got an opinion. No!
The EvoStick NPL show was brought to you in association with EvoStick, proud official sponsors of the Northern Premier League.